We're doing the Sefer Hamidot, and tonight's class was dedicated in honor of Amanda. Her husband is very excited. He attested to all of us that marriage is a good thing, and that's a testimony to her. The two of them, Hashem should bless them, and they should continue Mechayil L'chayim, and we're waiting to see them back here. The Magid Midubna had developed an interesting point where we're really dealing with the idea of love. And the Magid Midubna had said there are three types of love. And the Magid Midubna had gone off on this very long tangent discussing how people get infatuated with this world. People fall in love with material things, and then their life surprises them. And he says, if you want to know what really excites people, the reason we get excited over things is because we feel like they are special. The second you feel like it's ordinary, like it's commonplace, you don't get excited over something. If you have meat for supper, but you've had meat for supper every night for the last 3 months, it's not exciting anymore. It's the same as the poor man's bread. He says what gives us joy, what gives us pleasure in the material things is when we feel they are unique. When you drive out of the shop and you have a 2012 Cadillac and you feel great, and suddenly you look on the highway and everyone around you is driving the same car, so suddenly you don't feel so great anymore. So he said what really gives us joy in this world is when we feel things are unique. And he says, I want to prove it to you, he said. You will find that people think that happiness is contingent on having something spectacular. And if someone was walking around in the desert very hungry for a week, when he finds a slice of bread, he's so happy. And you see that you could be happy from a slice of bread. And on the contrary, you could have people who are extraordinarily wealthy, and yet they could be so upset. They could be even more upset, or at least as upset as someone who's poor. So you see, happiness or sadness do not revolve around material things. And again, I want to point out what Mike pointed out very importantly, that we're talking about above a certain base level, meaning a guy who's walking around naked is going to have a hard time being happy. He needs clothing. It's a little hard to be in that state. We're talking once you have a certain basic needs covered, so then within the realm of having more or less, but having the minimum, so then that's not what's going to define whether you're happy or not. V'anisayon yeva'er lechazot. We're on page Kuf Pei Tet. An experience will show you this, says the Magid Midubna. Kach lechazman yadua mizman ha'chaim asher ba'olam hazeh. Take a period of life. Lo kulo ki im netach min netachav. Don't take the whole period. Take a slice of the time of your life. Chelek mechalakav kmo shavua o chodesh. We're on the third line of the second paragraph on page Kuf Pei Tet. Take a portion, a week, a month. Vabet na be'ani biyoter ulmulot ha'asher biyoter. Take a poor person for that month or that week. Take a wealthy person for that month or that week. Ushkol usfor umnei simchatam ve'evlam. Now calculate. How happy was he? How sad was he? Don't you see that the poor man has happiness like the wealthy man? And as is the way of the Magid Midubna, he gives us huge concepts in simple words. He gives us a summation of concepts of Talmud and Rishonim without pointing out where he's getting it from. There's really a Gemara in Moed Katan that discusses, God forbid, if someone has to bury a baby, a child. At what point do we start having the laws of mourning apply? When the baby's 1 day old? When the baby's 30 days old? When the baby's 1 year old? When the baby starts talking? When people start knowing him? So there are different stages. There's a stage when the parents mourn. There's a stage when he gets buried without a mourning period. There's a stage where we eulogize. There's a stage, depending on his stages of development. And the Talmud offers an opinion. The Talmud says there should be a difference between a poor man and a wealthy person. at what stage they start mourning over a child. Because a wealthy person is busy and he doesn't have as much joy from a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old as a poor man does. A poor man has less things to distract him, and so when he comes home, his joy in his 4-year-old and his 5-year-old is much bigger than someone else who doesn't have time. Don't bother me. I got other things to do. And they, you start enjoying the kid when he reaches a higher level of intelligence. And we don't accept that opinion, la halacha, but the Talmud does offer such an opinion, that there's a difference. So the Magen Midubne here tells you, if you take a week of a poor man's life, a week of a wealthy man's life, you'll see. They both have their sources of joy. They both have their sources of sorrow. And just as the wealthy man, he can't understand how a guy can be poor and be happy. He looks at him and says, what are you so happy about? What'd you get? I have all the gold, all the silver. I'm not as happy. I don't get this happy till, if I get good news. My ship's hit the East Indies. I bought all the gold. I bought all the spices. Oh, then I'm happy. מעבר לים, כי הצליחו מעשה ידי שמה, אשר אני במי זכה תוכל להשיג שמחות כאלה. He looks at him and says, well, how could you be so happy? It's one of the things I hear very often when people come from the States to Israel. How come people are so happy here? You guys don't have it. What are you happy about? You don't have it. Who told me this? One of the guys told me this. Oh, one of the guys who came back from Chutzlar. It's one of the people who made Aliyah this past month told me that a Muslim friend of his told him this. I think the guy was either Iranian or from Afghanistan. He said, we have interesting guys here. So one of the guys said that a Muslim friend of his said to him, he said, there are two things I marvel about Israel. He says, one is that people help one another. He says, by us, if someone falls, who's going to collect charity for him? Who's going to help him? We fight the same fights. We don't help the same help. And the second thing is people are happy. You guys live lifestyle. We see you're happy. We're not happy. Come visit our Muslim countries. So the Magid Midubna says sometimes a person looks at, when a person has material things and he looks at someone else who doesn't have it, he looks at it and says, how could he be happy? When was the last time you visited a Starbucks? Dunkin' Donuts. How are you happy? I remember visiting friends of mine in the U.S. And they said they're going to Starbucks in the morning. So I asked, what's the celebration? And they looked at me like I came from planet Mars. You don't start your morning at Dunkin' Donuts? I said, no. Okay. So they were like looking at me. I'm missing something from life. I don't know if I'm missing something from life. I think the contrary. We had an interesting thing. We had a guest from the United States who came and brought the kids a lot of toys. So sometimes you could say no. And sometimes you're in a position where you don't feel comfortable saying no. So you have to figure, how am I going to balance this out? So we made a conscious decision. We're biting our lips. This is a relative they see once every few years. We'll cross this hurdle. We're not saying anything. So they show up and they bring gifts. There's this guy with a big white beard, a big belly, and a red suit Coca-Cola puts out his picture. So this is what it was like. Every day the relative came to visit. They're here for a week. Every day there's this big sack over their shoulder and toys for all of the kids. Okay, you swallow it day one, you swallow it day two, you swallow it day three. Fine, okay. The kids are theoretically in seventh heaven. After a week, we see that the kids aren't happy. And this relative who came to spend time with the kids also sees that the kids aren't happy. And we didn't say anything. But we didn't say it. We just said, thank you for the gift, and let the kids play, and that's it. But the kids who ordinarily would play with one another, the kids would ordinarily, they knew how to occupy themselves. Suddenly, every second it's, what's the new toy I'm supposed to be playing with now? What new toy did you bring today? And yesterday's toy is boring because they were taught over a week that every day they're going to get new toys. So yesterday's toys go out the window and today there's a new excitement. And if you don't give me new excitement today, then what can I do? They don't get new toys by us. Once a year they get new toys. It's not necessary. You know, if a toy breaks, so we replace it. But it's not. They have Lego, like 15 sets. We invested in a lot of Lego. We have a tub of Lego the size of a laundry basket. They have maybe 3,000 pieces of Lego. So that they can build and everyone. You could come over, yeah. There's a lot of Lego because that's an educational toy. They have these little riding toys. They have their bikes. They have, you know, the basic toys they can play with. But more than that, what do they need? The newest, you know, version of I don't know what. So this relative comes to me at the end of the stay and says to me, you know, I feel like the serpent in the Garden of Eden. I said, what do you mean? So the relative says, you know, the kids were so happy when I came. And I introduced them to this new concept that every day new toys. And I'm leaving them and I'm leaving you to deal with the problem. Now they're not so happy anymore. I see after all the toys I brought them that they're less happy than they were when I came. I didn't say anything. I didn't say, you know, yeah, what am I supposed to say? They're right. But the kids will outgrow it. You know, they'll get back to their old habits. Sometimes when a person lives in a certain system, he looks at other people and he says, how could they be happy? And the truth is, it's the other way around. They were more happy before they got used to this idea that I need this, that, or the other thing in order to be happy. They didn't think they were missing anything. They were very happy. One of the big problems we have here in Israel is all those American relatives that come to visit us and tell us how miserable we are because we live in a small apartment. We don't have this, that, and other thing. And if you keep driving that into a person, so suddenly you can convince him, how can I be happy? And that's not true. You could be happy. Look around. People can and are happy. So the Magen Midovna says, sometimes you take that section of life, the wealthy person looks at the poor person and says, how could he be happy? I would only be happy like him if I had some extraordinarily good news. He doesn't have that and he's still so happy. Look at what he's happy about. They appointed him gabbai in the shul. He comes home and says, honey, look at me. They made me gabbai. Calls his uncles, calls his aunts. I'm gabbai in the shul. As much as he's the gabbai, when he has to come collecting, he comes to the wealthy person, he stands at the door, he's like a servant. And even so, even though when push comes to shove, you ask society, who's respected? You ask the guy himself, he'll admit that there are instances where he stands next to the wealthy person and he's like a servant next to him. And nonetheless, he could be so happy. He could be so proud because he was appointed gabbai yoter ma sheyismach ha'ashir b'osho, more than the wealthy person with his wealth. So, we'll pause for 1 second. Yeah, Uri.
My dad was talking to someone from my dad.
Just 1 second. Ephraim, am I going to see you again?
I don't know. Are you around?
Yeah. Till when are you here?
Leaving Motze Shabbat after this Shabbat.
Are you in the Jerusalem area?
I'm leaving Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and probably coming back Wednesday.
So guys, give me 1 minute. We'll continue in 1 minute, okay?
Sorry.